Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to New Creation Realities. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our lessons, Let There Be Light. And I was going to make an announcement, but I'm not going to make an announcement. I'll just keep it as a surprise. It's not in the order of my outline here, but that's all right. You'll get it here in a little bit. But I want to continue with our lessons, Let There Be Light. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments, mention some things that the Spirit of the Lord put on my heart this morning, which I'm very grateful for. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God the Father unto His Son. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit to direct and guide unto Jesus Christ the Son, who is the truth. I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of God, because brothers and sisters, man is not faithful. If we think we are deceived. God and God alone is faithful unto His Son. Man is faithful to everything and anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, but God alone is faithful to His Son. All right. So here we go. The daily Christian walk is not to learn things. That is not the daily Christian walk. The daily Christian walk is to walk led by the Holy Spirit. If there is any walk, true walk at all, brothers and sisters, it is the walk wherein we are led by the Spirit of God. We know that the Spirit of God always leads and always guides unto the truth, who Jesus Christ Himself is. Not unto something true that we can read in the Scriptures. No, that's the testimony. The Holy Spirit uses that testimony, uses everything and anything available to direct our hearts unto the truth Himself, Jesus Christ. All right. God did not give the Scriptures, the Bible, so that we could learn things, T-H-I-N-G-S, things. No. God gave the Scriptures so that we could learn, so we could know His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the Scriptures, listen, are full of things, peoples, places, things, times, events, situations, circumstances, this and that. But all these things that are found in the Scriptures testify singularly of one, of a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, always, you can underline that word, always, always leads unto Christ, always leads unto Jesus Christ, nothing less. Jesus Himself said, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And this, of course, He's saying there is, let's go ahead and read it so I don't misquote it. Let me look it up real quick. This is John. Let me just go ahead and mark it in my notes. John chapter 16, starting with verse 12. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. However, when He, or verse 12, I still have many things, and we already looked at this in a previous class, things, plural, to say to you, but you cannot bear now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine, the things of the Scriptures, the things we find in the scriptures, people's places, things, times, events, situations, etc. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, always leads unto the person of Jesus Christ, unto the person of truth. He uses the things of the scriptures and whatever, whenever, however, God desires to do this one thing, to lead unto the person of Jesus Christ. All right? Lead unto. Okay? Now, man is faithful unto that which pertains to man. That's it. Man is faithful unto that which pertains to man. Man can present a lesson. Man can present a Bible class. Man present, or I'll just use myself. I can present a lesson during this time. I can present a Bible class. I can present a teaching or a doctrine. But I'll put a big but there, beauty. But God alone, underline that word, alone, God alone is faithful unto Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit alone is faithful unto Jesus Christ. Not man. No, we're not. If we think we're faithful, brothers and sisters, we are deceiving ourselves. God alone is faithful. Well, when I say if we think we're faithful, if we think we are faithful unto the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as like our hearts being directed unto him and directing other hearts unto him, then we are deceiving ourselves. It is God and God alone by his Spirit who directs the heart, brings the heart, guides the heart, brings the heart unto the person of the truth, the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man doesn't do this. No. No man does this. Jesus himself said, no man can come to me except the Father himself draw him. That is past, present, future on a timeline. If you want to look on a timeline, that's what it is. No man. It requires a miracle of God every single time for our heart to be directed and to be turned unto the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It requires a miracle of God. All right, let's see, where were we? Yes, man is faithful unto that which pertains to man. But God alone is faithful unto Jesus Christ. Now, here we go. Here's where I was going to start, and then I thought, no, that's not where my outline started. I'm going to give us a pop quiz real quick, and anyone who has my WhatsApp number, text number, or my phone number, you can text me your answers on these, or if you have my email address, you can send me an email with your answers to this, you know, to my pop quiz here. If you don't have my email address, you can go to crosseyedned.com and go to the contact us and shoot me an email that way. And just to kind of make it, you know, a participating lesson. There we go. Pop quiz. All right. So here we go. Here's my question. Here's question number one. What is the fundamental key for biblical interpretation? What is the fundamental key for biblical interpretation? And you should know this if you've been following the classes, if you've been listening to the classes. I've said this several times, time and time again. The Spirit of the Lord has really emphasized this in my heart during these lessons. All right. So what is the fundamental key for biblical interpretation? All right. Now, question number two. Before we get there, I have to make a statement first. All right. We, man, and when I say man, I mean mankind, male, female, we always gravitate to what is familiar. That is a true statement. We always gravitate. We always lean to, we always are drawn to what is familiar. All right. So here's my question. Question number two for our pop quiz. What is familiar to man? And I've also covered this in previous lessons as well. So if you've been paying attention, you'll jot it down. And if not, just jot down whatever's on your heart. That's fine. With the Berea students, when I asked them these questions, I told them to text me their answers through WhatsApp. And I told them to text them to me, like to my contact, not to the group text of the students. And so every single one that sent me a response, an answer to these two questions for the pop quiz, it's just two questions, I just kind of gave them a thumbs up and 100 because they responded. Okay. So if you send me your answers, your responses to these two questions during for our pop quiz, I will send you a thumbs up and a 100 as well. All right. So going on. So the last question or the last statement, once again, we, man, always gravitates, leans to, is drawn to what is familiar. And then the question, what is familiar to man? All right. I want us to look at an example that I didn't quite get covered during the Berea class, but I will mention it here. This is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. There we go. After the John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, beginning with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. In this way, he showed himself. Now, this is after his death, burial, and resurrection. He's starting to show himself to his disciples before his ascension. John chapter 21, verse 2. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Verse 3, here we go. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you. So, there you go. After everything that Peter had seen of the Lord Jesus, but remember, during that time, not truly knowing the one who was in the midst. I mean, think about this. 3.5 years, Peter and the other disciples are walking, talking, eating with, staying with Jesus. And, of course, during this time, they're not born again, but they still gravitate to what is familiar. Peter says, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. So now they're in a boat on the sea. And he goes on. And that night they caught nothing. They're basically laboring to no avail. Verse 4, but when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus is there also now in the morning. The disciples just don't know who it is. Now this is Jesus, because it goes on, verses like 4 through 7. Verse 5, then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. Verse 6, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came and plunged into the sea, headed towards Jesus. Okay, so with verses 4 through 7, Jesus, in the morning, he is now in view, but it is from afar. And yet, when he's in view, it still automatically generates a response in the disciples. They are drawn unto him. They are coming, as it were, unto a person, unto the person, once they recognize, once they discover who this person is. All right, let's see. The best teacher, now this is almost like a different subsection. I was going to say subtitle, but I just, little dash in my notes here. The best teacher always does what is best for the student. Okay, think about that. The best teacher always does what is best for the student. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean presenting something so the student can learn. Like presenting a teaching or presenting a doctrine or presenting a teaching in a particular way or manner or form in which the student will learn, understand that teaching, doctrine, etc. Each heart is different. Now, once again, with my statement, the best teacher always does what is best for the student. Now that your minds have kind of went this way and that way, considering and thinking about the best teacher, and then, you know, thinking about who have I heard, who have I seen, you know, wrap all that stuff up, set it aside. The Holy Spirit always directs and guides unto Jesus Christ. The best teacher is the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit teaches is Jesus Christ himself. Not a lesson, not a lesson, not a teaching, not a doctrine. But the Holy Spirit can use a lesson, a teaching, a doctrine, whatever, whenever, however, to direct, guide, and bring the heart under the person of Jesus. The best teacher, my brothers and sisters, is the Holy Spirit, because he knows what it will take for our heart to be directed and turned unto the Lord. I don't know that. You don't know that. No man knows that. No man knows the heart. Remember, man looks on the outward appearance. We covered this in a previous class. Man looks on the outward appearance. You know, God looks upon the heart. And if you're born again, God sees his Son who is present in the heart. It is we who do not yet see him, if God the Father has not made him known. But the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is continually preparing the ground of our heart, that our heart may be directed, that our heart may be guided, that our heart may come by the work of the Holy Spirit from the natural mind, the I, the my, the yo, yo in Spanish, from the natural mind that everybody has, unto the eternal mind, the mind of Christ, that which mind every single born-again believer has. But our heart must come from being submitted unto that natural mind to being submitted unto the eternal mind, the mind of Christ himself. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to direct, to turn our heart unto Jesus Christ himself, a person. All right. God knows, yes, I already said that, God knows what will direct a heart unto Jesus Christ. We do not. We have no clue, brothers and sisters, but God knows. All right. Let's see. I've got my notes kind of scattered all around. So with our diagram behind us, this is kind of the way I'm looking at it. It's kind of like this diagram has to do, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I changed some things just a little bit. I made the heart of this born-again believer a little more prominent, where you can see, oh, there's the heart right there. It's a little redder. It's a little bolder. I also added the my right here. Before we just had I, but I added my. What I did also, I went ahead and took the solid square and I just made it a dashed square, because this diagram right here, basically it has to do with a born-again believer, one who's born again. They have, by the Spirit of the Lord, come from the first man, Adam, unto the second man, the Lord from heaven, the moment of new birth. Because the second man, the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, appeared in the soul. That's the moment of new birth. All right? So, this right here, the I, the my, is the natural mind. But for the born-again believer, it is, listen, our concepts. It's not the truth. It is, if you can hear this, it is not the mind that we who are born again have. The mind that we who are born again have is the mind of Christ. Remember, when the Israelites, when the Lord brought the Israelites out from among the dead, from the condition of death, among the dead, out from Egypt, brought them unto himself, there was a new king who was present, the Lord himself. There was a new mind that was now governing the Lord himself. Remember, Pharaoh was not present. But we know that the children of Israel, their hearts, in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. So in their hearts were still submitted unto a natural mind from a head. Our other diagram back there. A head who was not present. All right. So here's my question for us who are born again. How many lives does the born again believer have? Cedar, quiet, excuse me, it's my dog. How many lives does the born-again believer have? The answer, my brothers and sisters, is only one. Our life is Jesus Christ. But Cedar, calm down, girl. Calm down. I just let her in. She wants to be let out. And my cord, my chain... it does not stretch that far. So you're going to probably hear her whine for a little while. Once again, how many lives does the born-again believer have? Just one. Only one who is born again, or only one. The one who's born again, I'm not even sure how I wrote that. Oh, only one who is born again has life. If the soul is not born again, that soul that's not born again doesn't have life. Life is present where Jesus Christ is present. All right. When we pray, Lord, help me. Listen to this, because I was thinking about this. Lord, help me. I guess I can add me there. It's in white. Lay down, girl. Me. Lord, help me, then the me, listen, the me that our heart has in view is our concept, a concept of what we believe is our life. The born-again believer does not have two lives. No. We have one life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If Jesus is present, if Christ is present, there is life. If he is not, there is no life. So when we, as born-again believers, are praying, Lord, help me, or my attitude needs to improve, even if we have that thought. What is it that we have in view? What is in view of our heart? What's in view is our concept right here of something that is not our life. Remember in our previous class where we mentioned, we looked at the passage in three different accounts in the gospel, and we looked at the passage where there was a storm going on. Jesus was in the boat asleep. The disciples were all in disarray. They were in peril, according to the outward observation. And the whole situation, and I mentioned it's the whole situation, the whole issue was that they did not know who was present, who was in the midst. That's the issue with us, brothers and sisters, who are born again. We who are born again, Christ is our life. He is present in our soul. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is continually in the background. We're not aware of this, but continually preparing the ground of our heart to direct our heart, to guide our heart, to bring our heart from being submitted unto our ignorance to being submitted unto the eternal mind, the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ, that we may know Him who is present. Because that's the issue. We just don't know. I'll just kind of... There is the heart turning unto the Lord. One is reality. The other one is the knowledge of reality. The heart turning unto the Lord. Okay. We can pray, Lord, help me. But it is our concept that wants the help. It is our concept of what we believe is our life that we want help for. Jesus needs no help, brothers and sisters. Jesus doesn't need to improve. Jesus doesn't need to learn how to correctly obey the Father. No, no. He does this all by nature. And Jesus is the very life of every single born-again believer. The issue with us, when we have those thoughts or those prayers, is that we just don't know who our life is. We believe we have two lives. And that is a false belief. That's our concept. But God the Father, listen, does not know concepts. God the Father knows the truth, who is His Son. God the Father knows the Son. Now, the thing is, yeah, right, I've got it right here. We do not know our life, who is present. Present before God. And this is probably going to upset a lot of people, but I'll say it anyway. Before God the Father reveals His Son, Jesus Christ, in our heart, because of our heart, by the work of the Holy Spirit, turning unto the Lord and the veil being removed, before God the Father reveals His Son, Jesus Christ, in our heart, listen, there is no light. He, my brothers and sisters, is the light. If our heart is submitted unto the natural mind, unto, listen, our concepts, there is no light with the natural mind. The natural mind is darkness. Our concepts are not the truth. They are concepts. The truth is Jesus Christ Himself. The truth is not something we can read in the Bible. Now, everybody flipped out. Pick yourself back up from off the chair or from off the floor. Sit back down again. We read, listen, true things in the Bible. We read a true testimony, which true testimony is designed of God to direct unto, listen, the truth Himself. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So if He's the truth, brothers and sisters, then there's only one truth. The Scriptures are true, my brothers and sisters, because the Scriptures are a true testimony of the truth, who Jesus Christ Himself is. All right. I must have gone there. Threes. Now, fours. Okay, here we go. I want to mention this because the best thing, the best we can do for those, for others, especially those we love, the best thing we can do for those we love and for others is not necessarily social distancing. Excuse me, it's a bad joke. We're still in the coronavirus epidemic or pandemic, so that's a bad joke. The best we can do for others, especially those we love, listen, is to follow on to know Jesus. Now that'll kind of mess with your mind a bit if your heart is submitted unto the mind of the first man, Adam. But I want us to read a passage here. It's in Hosea. If I can find it. There we go. Hosea chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord. I would call that a repentance when the heart turns to the Lord. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. And that is, of course, a beautiful picture of the cross. Our heart, our soul actually experienced this, the moment of new birth. We were brought out from the condition and state of death in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So on the third day, he will raise us up. We are birthed, brothers and sisters, of the resurrection, that we, and look at this, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He goes on to say, he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Now, once again, the best we can do for others, the best thing we can do for others, especially those we love, we who are born again, especially those we love, is to follow on to know Jesus Christ. Here is one of my statements, or a question. Do we think we can walk on water? Now, you're thinking, well, how does that relate to what he just said? The best thing that we can do for others, especially those we love, is follow on to know Jesus Christ. And see, that is always a thing, brothers and sisters. We are always to be being led, carried on by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of truth, which directs, leads, guides, and brings to the person of the truth, Jesus Christ himself. Think of it this way. When Jesus was passing by and he passed by someone and said, you follow me. Now, he didn't say you be born again. No, he said, you follow me. Well, if they truly followed the Lord, they would go on to be born again by the Spirit. But that call still continues. You follow me. So now the born again believer, the call is still there. You follow me. Ah, but here we go. Here's where we just throw everything out in front and say, well, yes, Lord, but what about this? Hey, what about it? You follow me. And there we go. It's like a monkey wrench into the well-oiled machine that runs on synthetic oil. When our heart is submitted unto the natural mind. The mind that's not even there, brothers and sisters, for us who are born again. No, we're always to continue on unto the Lord. Remember, and because of my, look at my comment. Do we think we can walk on water? We will sink in the same situation if our eyes, the eyes of our heart, are not on Jesus. Remember Peter in the boat with the disciples, a storm, another storm going on. Here's Jesus walking on the water. Everything was fine as long as Peter had Jesus Christ in view and was coming unto a person. The second Jesus was not in view, we all know he began to sink into that situation that was going on the earth. It's always like that. It's always like that. But the best thing that we can do for others, especially those we love, is to follow on to know Jesus Christ. All right. Yep. Now, I've got a visual example here that I'll show you all in just a second. Does the compass of our heart point to Jesus? Think about it. Does the compass of our heart point to Jesus? Before you start going off into your thoughts, brothers and sisters, no, it does not. Remember, God and God alone is faithful unto his Son. The Holy Spirit, who, listen, is the eternal compass, points, directs, leads, guides, and brings unto the person of Jesus Christ. The testimony that is found in the scriptures, the eternal testimony, is an eternal compass that does just the same, directs unto the person of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus himself said, they are they, concerning the scriptures, they are they that testify of me. They point to me, they direct to me, that we may be led, that we may be led to a person. The eternal compass. All right, so just like this, see, here's a compass, and I can flip it around, I can turn it around, you know, you do this with your smartphone, with a smartphone compass app, but this thing will always point north, as long as there's no metal around it. And there we go, there's north right there. It'll always point north. Toss it around, flip it upside down, it'll always point north. My brothers and sisters, our heart is not like that. The heart of man, I mean, our example, the disciples in the boat, there's a storm, Jesus is asleep, their heart is pointing every which way, around and around and around it goes, and where it stops, nobody knows. But what we do know is that it typically and most likely be directed unto the natural mind. Submitted unto the natural mind, the mind of the first man, Adam. That's our heart. That's the heart of every single born-again believer. And remember, there is none faithful, no, not one. God alone, Jesus Christ alone, he has written faithfulness, faithful. He is faithful. You're not faithful. I'm not faithful. If we think we are, we're deceiving ourselves. There is one who is faithful. All right. So the Holy Spirit is that eternal compass that always points, directs, brings, guides unto the person of Jesus Christ himself. Always. The scriptures are that eternal compass. The testimony found in the scriptures are that eternal compass that always direct and point and testify of Jesus Christ himself. Nothing less. Nothing less. This is what God does, and the things, the scriptures of God. All right. Where were we? Going on. Here's my question. Do we really love others? Just to be, you know, based upon my statement earlier, the best thing we can do for others, especially those we love, is to follow on to know Jesus Christ. My question, do we really love others? I mean, really, do you really love? I mean, I'm not trying to upset you, but just think about this. Do we really love others? God is love. Jesus said, they are they that testify of me. So if we read the term, the word love in the scriptures, it testifies of Jesus himself. Who is the love of God? He is the love of God, okay? If we are not, listen, if we are not offering, presenting Jesus Christ to others, then we truly do not love them. Wow, that's a mouthful. Because what it is, my brothers and sisters, we have a concept of love. And our concept is not the truth. God the Father, listen, knows love. God the Father knows the truth. God the Father knows His Son. God is love. If we say we love others but not present Jesus Christ, we are calling God, we are calling Jesus a liar. Because in the scriptures we read, in our Bible we read, God is love. And Jesus himself said, you search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life. He says, they are they that testify of me. Let's just go ahead and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And I think we've actually looked at this verse before. Verse 7, beloved, and this is the Apostle John, who was knowing the truth, who was walking in the land of the living, who was walking in light, who was walking in Christ, whose heart was submitted unto the eternal mind, therefore knowing the truth, declaring the truth, the one who is true. Listen, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoa, John, what did you say? If a person is not born again, they don't love? Well, actually, that's exactly what he said. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The thing is that humanity, mankind, has a concept of what they think love is. Verse 8. Look at this. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. My statement, the best thing we can do for others, especially those we love, is to follow on to know Jesus Christ. If we know God, we will automatically love others. To some, that may be upsetting. To others, that may be great cause for great rejoicing. I mean, it's upsetting if we are obsessed with our concepts that come from our natural mind, which has as its source the first man, Adam. Rejoicing, great rejoicing, when our heart is directed, listen, unto the eternal, true object of the scriptures. All right. What is your goal? And I'll go ahead and read this. We covered just a little bit of it, but I didn't give the rest of my example. It's all right, Cedar. Hold on. We're coming to the end here. We may have to cut this class short. I did present this earlier, but I didn't cover all the rest of my examples. What is your goal, your object in view when reading the Bible, when reading the scriptures? Now, we interpret everything according to the goal, the object that we have in view. And that is a true statement. Here's an example, evangelism. If we have evangelism in view, then every single verse that we read in the scriptures is going to tell us, I need to evangelize. Or we will come up with this thought, it's all about evangelization. And so we'll read, well, God sent this one. There was a man sent of God. Oh yeah, there it is. There's evangelism. Or look at this one. Or, here I am, O Lord, send me. But, brothers and sisters, when we say that, the one that our heart has in view is our concept. Now, You who have probably prayed that, I prayed that myself. But you who have probably prayed that will get very upset when I state the following statement, when I make the following statement, which is a true statement. God only sends his son. Now that will upset you, but that's okay. It upset me too when I first heard it. Because we want this, oh, here I am, Lord, here I am, send me. But that me, that I, is our concept, brothers and sisters. Now, Isaiah declared, here I am, send me. He said that, listen, after he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And brothers and sisters, when our hearts, by the work of the Holy Spirit, turn, are directed, are guided, are brought unto the person of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, who is high and lifted up, automatically, it will not be a confession of faith. It will not be our doctrinal statement that we have memorized and we adhere to and believe. No, no, no. It will be automatic. We will declare, listen, not I, but Christ. God only sends his son. There you go. Remember what I mentioned earlier, and it's a very true statement. Until God the Father reveals his son in the heart, in our heart, those who are born again, until God the Father reveals his son, my brothers and sisters, there is no light. Because our heart continues submitted unto the natural mind. The mind of the first man, Adam. Listen, the mind of the king, of a king, Pharaoh, who is not even present anymore. Because the true king, the king of kings and lord of lords, is the one who is present for the soul, the one who is born again. So just some other examples of some goals or some objects that we may have in view when reading the scriptures. church planting. Hold on, Cedar. Church planting. Discipleship. And I mention all these because this is what was in view of my heart as a newborn believer. All right. Church planting. Miracles, signs, wonders. And then we run after all this stuff. I ran after all this stuff, brothers and sisters. The spiritual gifts, the spiritual offices, spiritual titles, you know, we all want to run and grab something like if God opens the door to this big old toy store or candy store and just says, go for it. And we run and we want to grab everything we can for ourselves. But it's still our concept. Okay. Healings, or get this one. Hold on, Cedar. The end times, the last days. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Right now, we're experiencing this whole coronavirus thing. And I know that there's believers sadly declaring that this is the end of the world. And they're using, what grieves me is that they're using the scriptures to declare that. I mean, they're literally going to the scriptures and presenting a false testimony. Because they believe it's the end of the world. The end of the world, the end times, is what their heart has in view. So they're reading wherever, whatever passage in the scriptures, and they're saying, see, here it is, it's the end of the world. Well, no, no, no. Remember, Jesus, a person, said, there are they that testify of me. Now, just to make the statement hit, you know, what is it? So the statement can hit home a little more. How about this? Think about this. The destruction of a creation, Genesis chapter 6, Noah and the flood, the end of one creation. Now that, my brothers and sisters, was the end of a creation. That was literally the end of a world. Okay? That's what happened with Noah and the flood. Ah, but Peter, he says the following. Now, Noah's out there, and he's not saying, guys, It's the end of the world. The end of the world is coming. The end of this creation is coming. Come on. You know, I'm building this ark. Everybody, everybody, come on. Into the ark, into the ark, into the ark. The end of the world is coming. No, that's what we think because that's what we do. That's what the natural mind does. That's how the natural mind acts. It's not the mind of Christ. It's not the eternal mind. No, it's the mind of man who has, whose heart has something other than the Lord Jesus Christ in view. It doesn't matter what it is. But right now, we're just looking at end times, the end of the world, okay? So here's Noah, and there is literally a true end of the world happening, the end of a creation happening. I mean, God, it said God destroyed the earth with a flood. It happened, brothers and sisters. I know you who are born again, you believe this. I know you believe this. But listen to what Peter said. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Did you get that? I'll let you search it out. It's in the one of the epistles of Peter. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Noah was literally living in the last days of his creation. The end of the world was at hand. In fact, God even told that to Noah. I'm going to destroy the earth and everything in it and on it. So build an ark, which is a beautiful testimony of Jesus Christ. But what was Noah preaching to everybody in the world? It's the end times. It's the end of the world. No, no, that's not what he was preaching. He was preaching righteousness. My brothers and sisters, what did Jesus say? They are they that testify of me. He was preaching Christ. The Apostle Paul declares Christ, who is our righteousness. Noah wasn't preaching the end of the world. Noah wasn't preaching end times. Noah was preaching Jesus Christ himself. Noah was preaching the Lord. So, what was in view in the heart of Noah? The Lord himself was in view. And that, not that, but this is the one whom he declared, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing less than a person, my brothers and sisters. Nothing less than a person. Remember, not I, but Christ. Not my thoughts, not my concepts, not my, and not me, and not yo, me, not you, but Christ. But, of course, I know this only happens. Our heart is only submitted unto this eternal mind when a work, a miracle of God happens by a work of the Holy Spirit where our heart turns unto the Lord and God the Father reveals his Son in our heart. This is only when this happens. This is only, my brothers and sisters, when there is light. And when there is light, my brothers and sisters, it is the light of he himself, the light of his countenance. And we cannot declare anything less. Please present this to the Holy Spirit. May the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, take that which he desires to take. Use it for God's own end, God's own purpose, for God's will. Amen? Amen. Lord bless. We'll see you in our next lesson. I'm going to let my dog out. Lord bless. Hold on, Cedar.